In our first reading today, the prophet Ezekiel is speaking to the people of Israel about a new covenant. He's talking about a new covenant because all these other covenants have been broken. First, God gave a covenant to Adam and Eve. They broke that. He gave a covenant to Noah. Noah broke that one. He gave a covenant to Abraham. They broke that one. He gave a covenant to Moses, and they broke that one. And it is this covenant that he made with Moses where he took them out of Egypt and gave them this promised land, right? They called it a land flowing with milk and honey. It was very rich in food and fertile, a great place to live. If you can imagine maybe the place you would like to have your dream house someday, maybe it's in, you know, Florida or right now Kansas isn't so bad with the sun shining. They wanted to come to this place and live the rest of their lives there. It was a comfortable place. But what would happen is they would be settled in this promised land, and then they would start to disobey the commandments of God. They would start to break their covenant with God. And so what would often happen is God would allow armies to come in from the surrounding area and conquer them. And he didn't do it out of sadistic joy. He did it as a disciplinary action, and it would actually work. The people of Israel would say, oh no, we've done something, we've been unfaithful to our covenant, and we need to get back to it. And sure enough, a good example would be like the Maccabees. They would say, we got to start living this covenant, and they would get really serious about it, and then they would rise up an army and kick the bad guys out. But after a while, kings kind of caught on to this, that these people living in Israel, they don't take any flack. And so King Nebuchadnezzar actually comes along and he deports all the Israelites to the east, totally removes them from their land so that they won't rise up against him. And it worked because a lot of them, if you remember the story of Radshak, Meshach, and Abednego, or the VeggieTales version, you'll remember that they kind of sold out. They started worshiping the gods in that region. In fact, why did these men get thrown into the fiery furnace? Because they would not bow down. Brothers and sisters, Lent is a time for us to take spiritual stock of our lives, to ask ourselves, okay, where am I in my spiritual journey? And what you will find, I think, in analogy is in yourself in one of these three places that the Israelites found themselves. You will find yourselves in the promised land spiritually, a land where you feel comfortable, where you feel at peace with God, where it's rich in spiritual food. You may also find yourselves, though, occupied, like the Israelites, and foreign army has come in to your life and is invading. You're still living in the promised land. You still are rich in this spiritual food, meaning you're still coming to the sacraments, you're still close to God. But maybe the enemy, Satan, has begun to occupy an area of your life. Or you might find yourself in this third area of being deported, or that is totally separated from the promised land, totally separated from a spiritually rich life, and maybe even selling yourself out to other idols, whether it be the idol of lust or the idol of alcohol, the idols of this world. What's interesting is there is another analogy in the gospel today. There are three characters or groups of characters in the gospel today that are experiencing those very stages in their spiritual life. Look at Mary. She's a friend of Jesus. What does it say in the gospel today? Did she run out to meet him when he arrived? No. It says she stayed at home. Now, at first glance, you might think, well, that's kind of rude, right? She's like best friends with Jesus, and she doesn't even go out to greet him. Her brother's dead. She's not going to go out and beg him like Martha to raise him up. And I was reading a scripture commentary on this, and the scripture scholar theorizes that Mary trusted Jesus so much, she felt so close to God, that she didn't feel like she needed to even ask, that she didn't even need to go out there and beg him to do something for her brother. You see, Mary was living in the promised land. She was living in a spiritually rich life. And she didn't have to act out of anxiety or fear. And that's exactly what Martha did. She runs out to Jesus and said, oh, Lord, if you'd only been here, he wouldn't have died. And it says that Jesus actually got perturbed with Martha. So parents, if you ever get perturbed with your children, know that you're in good company. Jesus gets perturbed with Martha. And what's interesting about Martha is, does it say she was a totally bad person? No. In fact, she says, I believe that you will raise him up in the resurrection on the last day, which is true. But she still is acting out of anxiety and fear. She, analogously, is living in an occupied land where she has this kind of foreign element in her life. These doubts, these fears about who God is or what he's capable of. She doesn't yet totally, 100% like Mary, trust Jesus. So we've got Mary, we've got Martha, but we also have this group of Jews towards a little bit earlier in the gospel who ridicule Jesus for saying that this, you know, he's going to raise this guy up. And they're all like, yeah, right. He's been in there 4 days. Have you ever been around a body that's been dead 4 days? No embalming. It's not pleasant. And they're laughing at Jesus. Jesus, you can't do this. Or if you can, I mean, you can heal the blind, but you couldn't be here to save your friend? What's wrong with you? You see, these Jews, this group of Jews who doubts, they're kind of in that deported situation, that totally separated situation, because they've sold themselves out to a merely human way of thinking, not a godly way of thinking. And so I ask you today, who are you most like? Who are you most like? In the gospel, like Mary, Martha, or the Jews? In the Old Testament, are you like the Israelites living in the Promised Land? Are you like the Israelites living in the Promised Land but under foreign occupation? Or have you totally sold yourself out? Lent, these 2 weeks we've got left of it, is our time to set ourselves right with God. To take stock spiritually and ask ourselves, where am I in my spiritual life? And guys, really, the reality is in any given day, we can go from one extreme to the other, can't we? We can sell ourselves out on one thing, and then that night we kneel down before Jesus, say we're sorry, and we feel close to him again. And probably for most of us who are here in church today, we're somewhat like Martha, right? Satan's made some inroads in our lives. There's some doubts, there's some fears, but we love Jesus. But don't ever forget the promise that God gave the Israelites in the Old Testament and the promise that Mary showed faithfulness to in the gospel today, and that is living in the Promised Land. That is living in complete union with God and not having any sin in our life, not having any fear in our life, but letting God conquer every doubt, letting God conquer every fear, letting God be Lord of every last part of your life.